This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not wild and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest things that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as the mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So, meditation. It's always good to ask yourself, why do you want to meditate? And because all your reasons are completely different, I give you the Buddhist version, which is also pretty much always your own version, because that's what works for me, which I found most skillful for myself. But the nice thing is that you can fiddle around with your own mind and see what works for you. And today that is basically a trial we do together. And if you know the direction, you can figure out maybe different methods for yourself to achieve the goal. And the goal is to calm the mind. Calm the mind down, slow down the thought process. This is not the time to figure anything out. It's not an intellectual exercise. This is the relaxation of the body and the mind. And the interesting things for the people who haven't done the meditation will be that it's not as easy as it sounds to relax the mind, because we just chanted being free from all sense desires, as the Buddhist goal of attaining the state of non-suffering, and you will figure out that the mind itself, the thought process, is a desire. Nobody in control who can say, now stop that process, and anybody's going to listen. So the thought process can only be indirectly manipulated, if you so want. And the only way that you have a chance that it's going to be calm is if you learn from the very beginning to treat your mind very kindly and patiently, and treat it, make extra effort that you maybe treat it even kinder as you do in your usual life, because that is a difficult thing for the mind that we call the untrained mind, which is where it's only trained in thought and maybe keeping one train of thought up if you're skillful. But often it's not even that, and in the next generation, the handy generation, it's going to be even more difficult. There's basically this constant sense stimulation going on, and people have great difficulty of just being content with what is happening when nothing is happening. And we're just sitting here and not having to do anything. The mind immediately asks, and what am I supposed to do now? Or that is boring, or I don't like that. So if that comes up, remember your first goal is whatever comes up, treat it kindly. You're not in control. You're not supposed to be in control. We're going to make the bodies as comfortable as we can. And then we just keep in the back of our minds that the game today is mind. For this half an hour when we're meditating together, you have a great chance of calming down, of not having to do anything. If you fall asleep, beautiful, well done. It's very comfortable. That's usually when the mind is calm, but it doesn't have yet the energy actually to sustain its momentum there. There's not enough joy in the mind to just stay with that calmness. But if you, from the very beginning, treat your mind in a kind and skillful way, you have a far better chance of developing that trust and the joy in your mind, which is then the sustaining factor in the end of having a calm mind. Because if we have something that is interesting, it's easy for us to stay with it. It's only when we consider it as boring that it's sort of the mind tries to run away. We want to see something different, hear something different, or move the body. So this kindness hopefully helps you to develop this little bit of joy in your meditation, or just treating yourself nicely, not having demands on your own mind. Make that very clear in your mind, and then maybe some joy and relaxation comes up if you're lucky. Something to ease into. And for the people who now start, a lot of the Theravada Buddhists, try to have as a focus point, we use the breath. And the reason for that is the breath is very exceptional, because it's one of the things that is continuing without our conscious knowledge. Like when we sleep, or when we get, even if we get unconscious. But we can also manipulate it directly. We can decide, now I'm going to take a deep breath, or I'm going to take a shallow breath. So it has this double quality, where we can influence it, and where it just goes by itself. And so it's very nice then if one manages to slow down the thought process a little bit and starts watching the breath, we see that what Ajahn Brahm likes to call the doer or the manipulator coming up, trying then even to control the breath, letting the breath do something instead of just watching. And that is also very interesting, if you can just realize, oh, okay, There's still somebody trying to do something. And then if you can figure that out, that what is happening, trying to do something the whole time in your meditation, that's a great awareness already. This impossibility to tell the thoughts to shut up, to tell the feelings to stop, to tell the body to stop aching or do anything, to tell the ears not to get any hearing impressions, any sounds coming in anymore. And even sometimes our consciousness goes behind the eyes, and then even with the lights dimmed, we still see stuff behind our eyelids, even with closed eyes. And that is how the senses run around, how the mind runs around through the senses. And just don't worry about that. If you need the feeling of having an anchor, you can always go back to your breath if you feel comfortable there. Otherwise, try to keep your hands off the steering wheel and just see where it goes. Just keep it in the back of the mind. This is our meditation time. This is no time to figure anything out. We don't have to do comments to what we're experiencing. We don't have to analyze. Just as thoughts come up, they can come up, and then they can go again. Right? And be kind to yourself in the meditation. Don't get impatient. Try not to manipulate. And if you see that you're manipulating, then be kind to that. That's just the mind manipulating. Keep a positive attitude, and then your meditation also won't be such a frustrating experience for you, and you might get something out of it. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit into the meditation to get us set up. And then I'm going to stop talking. The meditation is going to be half an hour. If you get too uncomfortable sitting because you're in pain or something, you always have the opportunity to get up, walk a little bit outside. Please make sure you do that as silently as you can, not to disturb the other people. Can we please dim the lights? Okay, please make your sit on your chair in a way that you have the feeling I can sit in that position for half an hour without my body getting too uncomfortable. It takes a little bit of effort right now, but check that your feet are in a comfortable distance from your chair, that you're not slumped over in your chair, not your back is not too straight, but also not too bent over, that you might get trouble later in the meditation. And a nice way to just check that is take one deep breath now and see if your belly can move outwards. Do you see if the breath goes in nicely without too much effort if you take a deep breath? So your feet, we check our feet, and we try to relax our feet. Relax your toes.
I hope your legs are in a nice position now. Your knees are at a proper distance where it feels good right now. That's all we can do. Might not be completely comfortable the whole time, but we are completely sure that the body is going to sit in a position where it's not going to get hurt. It might not be 100% comfortable, but we know sitting there, and after half an hour, it's not going to be damaged. So now you have to check how do you want your hands on your laps or on your legs open. You want to have them folded on your lap. Whatever feels best for you. And a good way to check if that feels alright is if you feel tension on your shoulders and your neck, then usually the distance is not quite right. And you'd maybe pull your hands a little bit higher, that your shoulders can relax. Very important that we start as good as we can with a relaxed body. And then we have a chance that the mind can relax as well. If the body feels comfortable, then there's a chance for the mind to get comfortable easy as well. So I hope you check that with the breath, that you're sitting in an upright, comfortable position. Check your shoulders now when you breathe in. You can pull them up a little bit, and when you breathe out, you can just drop your shoulders down. All the weight is just dropping off the shoulders now. Nothing to carry on our shoulders. And sometimes later in the meditation you will feel, oh, there was still a little bit of tension in the shoulders, and then they come down a little bit more during the meditation. And you see, oh, the body is relaxing even more. Sometimes it takes a while. And now your head. It's usually also, if you breathe comfortably, then your head and neck will be in a position to allow that. And so the body figures almost out all by itself through being conscious of comfortable breathing, in which position to be. And it's completely alright if there's still control of the breath. We're still at the very beginning of the meditation. So we can afford to manipulate and see if the breath goes in easily, so we even inflate ourselves a little bit more than usual. And then at the deflation, we can feel our shoulders dropping again. Feel our neck coming into the right position. So now we can check our mouth. Is there tension around our mouth? And if so, want to make that a pleasant experience, just give it a little smile. Give yourself a little smile, a little kindness now for the start of our meditation. A little bit of goodwill. Whatever happens is welcome. Just here to make friends with ourselves. So, and I hope you to have this little bit of goodwill towards yourself now. That should also take care of the forehead. The forehead is not needed now. There's no thought that is necessary. Oh, I can rest mind. You don't have to figure anything out. The past is completely irrelevant now for this time being. You don't have to speculate about the future. This is a time where we can just drop into this kind awareness. Just what is happening if we don't need to do anything? Just see where the attention goes. Without controlling. And if you're comfortable and you like to, you can always go to your breathing, which is always there for you. If you have the feeling that you need to do something, then put that doing in this effort of kindness, this effort of goodwill towards what is ever happening to you. Nothing to do, just breathing in and out. Cars going by, clock ticking. Body breathing. Nothing to do. Just a friendly observer. ring the bell 3 times, and then after the 3rd time, please open your eyes and we end the meditation session for today.
So for the beginners, half an hour can be a long time already. I hope that wasn't too painful. In a group sometimes it's easier. If you want to meditate at home, you can set yourself shorter time periods. Just figure out where the mind doesn't shy away. If you say 5 minutes and the mind says, oh yeah, that's interesting, see what happens if I don't have to do anything for 5 minutes. And you don't have to be, oh, it has to be long or whatnot. So be honest with yourself and see when the mind, how long the mind you can stay interested with it. 10 minutes is sort of okay. 10 minutes is, yeah, it might be still okay. And 15 minutes, sort of, well, 15 minutes. Well, not sure about that. Then go for 10. Yeah. Make it that you enjoy it and the mind is interested in what you're doing. Don't make it a burden from the very beginning. Because it's a longer period, that doesn't mean that it's a better and a more valuable period. Because people can meditate for, I don't know how many hours a day, for 20 or 30 years, and I don't see that much has happened. I just don't see it. And I'm living together with the meditators. Actually, it's sort of, it's not a game where you just have to do it enough and something is going to happen. It depends each and every time again when you sit down. Why am I sitting down here? What do I want to get out of that? Am I enjoying that, or is it just an exercise? Am I just a good Buddhist? Or am I just a great meditator? Or I'm so spiritual, actually, I'm a meditator. Whoa, look at me. So, if you sit down, see if you, like I said in the beginning, you have different reasons to meditate. Some of you might be sick, and you try to alleviate your suffering, your bodily suffering, you hope to get some more comfort through the meditation. Some of you might have mental problems, anxiety, or I don't know what sort of difficulties in your mind. So you want to lessen your anxiety or your depression or whatever is going on. Then it's especially important that you meditate in a way where you don't put more pressure on yourself, where you just make it something which is just another chore.
Chore.
just another job to do. When you sit down, don't take that lightly with this being kind to yourself. If you ever hope to let go in your meditation, let's trust that at least you yourself mean it well with yourself has to be there. Otherwise the mind will never be able to let go. And somebody always gonna want to control. If there's not at least that trust that you, while you're doing it, you're wishing yourself the very best, you want good benefits for yourself, and if you have good benefits for yourself, other people are gonna benefit from it. The healthier your mind is, the more positive energy you can spread around to other people as well. So it's not a if thoughts like that come up, that it's sort of a selfish agenda. It isn't. It's that if you improve your mind, you're gonna improve the world around you. You're gonna improve your relationships. You're gonna improve the relations with your neighbors. So it's a worthwhile thing to learn at least to treat yourself kindly. And the meditation can just help us to see first what is going on in that mind. Mind, hopefully you become a little bit more aware that there's a constant inner monologue going on in that mind. And there's a ring to it, there's a tone to it, there is a feeling to it. There is an attitude to it, to this inner monologue. And sometimes when we're angry, we see it very clearly that it's obviously that's an angry mind. But often when we have a feeling, it's relatively neutral. So sometimes I at least figure out in my own mind, oh no, it's actually, there is a negativity behind that. Often when I have a feeling I have to correct somebody else because something is upsetting me in the monastery, that's a very hard chore for me to say something to somebody in this manner where I'm not already sound like I'm pissed off. And then you realize, wow, okay, negativity in the mind already. But that is then not a criticism. This is I try to take it as being more aware. Okay, there is still a critical mind there. There is still a negativity. And when I catch myself, I know this is not a good moment to correct anybody. No, because it cannot come across nicely. I still have to do it because sometimes it's sort of difficult to get the balance between when you say something and when you don't say something, then you have the feeling you take that negativity inside when you should have said something. So I'm still experimenting myself with that as well. But if we're not even aware of where our mind is at, then we're at a disadvantage, obviously. And that is one thing where the meditation can help us. Just if we calm down the mind a little bit, we get a little bit of the feeling of that thought process. This is sort of, if there's something unpleasant in the body, it's the mind of, ah, now that again, is it sort of, oh yeah, okay, I know you. Mm-hmm. Or if there's thoughts coming up and you would just want to do a little bit more quiet, and you say, oh no, can you never shut up, mind? Well, then you go into negativity again. Now that's where you can catch yourself already in the meditation. This is I'm going into negativity. That's not a helpful meditation. There's nothing in that direction but negativity. And then if you sit for many hours in negativity, you train yourself for 6 hours in negativity. If you meditate like that. So it's not just sitting there and doing nothing. It's this awareness, and consciously, because we all are negative beings, actually. I don't know anybody who is so super duper and lovey dovey, actually. Not even Ashram Ram, actually. He's as lovey-dovey maybe as it gets, as I know, actually, but it's sort of, he is, yeah, he's tired, and you feel there's more energy, there's less energy, is more engaging, less engaging, different energy states. And with us it's even worse. Usually these ups and downs are more pronounced in our own minds. So there's obviously work to do, but the work is not in the time we put into it so much, but in the energy that we and in the attitude that we put into our meditation. So if meditation becomes something which is just another ritual, just sitting down doing it, and you think I'm doing a great thing, don't be so sure. Just remind yourself, or I remind myself and yourself now, this is always going to be this conscious effort of what is going on, what am I doing, and I don't like it that much, but from time to time it's good. I avoided it today, actually, just to remind you before the end of the meditation, just to check where your mind is at. And then I said, no, I don't want to do that, because it goes so easily again into this judgmental mind. You say, oh yeah, now I'm worse off at the end of the meditation than I was before. I just feel more agitated and my body is aching and I'm getting nothing out of it. Whatnot, and it's just from the very beginning we have a judgment towards the meditation, how it's supposed to be, and we don't realize actually the instruction in the beginning of the meditation was whatever happens can happen. That's what I said. So obviously during the meditation, then that attitude must have shifted to that point where you want to get something out of it. You want to reach a certain state. You wanted to think less, or you wanted to have a comfortable body for you, whatever. If you get more agitated when you give kind instructions in the beginning, you figure out, wow, there's somewhere during the meditation, somewhere is trying to manipulate you, and usually in an unkind way. Because if this observer who gets the instruction in the beginning stays kind, that frustration cannot get momentum in your meditation. But if you feel that momentum gets too much momentum in your meditation, you can't do anything about that, then it might really not be the right time for you to continue sitting. Then I agree with Ajahn Brahm and make yourself a cup of tea or whatnot and relax in another way.
Because I'm not the
in that school who likes to push people into and think that people get with great results when they just clench their teeth together and sit in the meditation. I'm long enough in ropes now to see that I don't find the results out there with people who practice like that. I don't see. If you have different experiences, fair enough. And from my experiences, I lived in different monasteries as well, where people practiced very hard and you had to sit for a long time and it was uncomfortable. And there's not. I don't know one who is a great meditator. Not one. In my opinion, the only thing that can happen is that the mind, if you really push your mind so hard and you're so tense and determined and full of willpower, is that sometimes people push themselves so hard that the mind just gives up. And you either, some of them go crazy, or the mind really has to let go and they have maybe a nice meditation experience. Great, so what? You're going to push yourself that way actually to get something nice out of it? Mind is never going to trust you again. not going to happen. So please develop from the very beginning a mind that wants to learn something. And if you learn something, if you get skillful, then that is good for myself and that is good for others. And this contemplation can help you if thoughts come up of this selfishness, or selfish act of taking care of myself. No, it's the best thing you can do for yourself and for other people. But looking after one's own mind. So, a job which is absolutely worthwhile doing. So obviously this meditation business is for each and every one of us. We are always at a different place. Each one of us was in his or her little universe while we were sitting here. Just the room was the same and the chairs were the same. But for some of us it might have been hell, for some of us it was pleasant or heaven or whatever. And we figure out, wow, this is really, there is a whole universe out there that is in my own mind the whole time. The way I experience the world is completely dependent on this mind. It has not that much to do with what is going on outside. Sure, it has. Little bit, but we're not living in a war zone. Actually, we have enough to eat. We have it relatively comfy, even in the monastery. I don't have to be afraid of being murdered all the time. So there is this general feeling of safety and comfort there already. This requisites there. We can be grateful for it already. Good circumstances to develop the mind. And still, we're sitting here, and each and everyone is in their own little universe right now. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? And sometimes in the meditation, you can have a feeling a little bit when people calming down that this overlaps a little bit. This ego's dropped down a little bit, then there's a little bit of that feeling of doing something together, meditating together, and then that is that group energy that comes up sometimes in a meditation group, which can be really, really beautiful. But it's not because people are doing something or trying something. It's this relaxation into this kindness and this opening up, and that is then that experience where I guess people usually search for stuff like that with a partner, of this feeling of not being alone, being connected. Sometimes it can happen in a meditation group. Just feel connected through in a loving kindness meditation or whatever. And then it becomes very obvious that there are certain states of mind which are skillful of developing into a way that is less full of suffering, and then there are certain states of mind which are obviously leading just to more suffering. And to see that clearly, seeing clearly when the mind goes in a direction where it's just not helpful, it's not helpful for me, it's not helpful for others. This train of thought is just not helpful. Yes. The earth is going to be swallowed by the sun in 5 billion years, actually. So everything is going to end. This is pretty much sure. Our beautiful planet is going to be swallowed up. Or at least burnt to a crisp. I'm not quite sure yet, actually, it's going to be swallowed. So what does it do to my mind, that thought? 5 billion years, okay, might be death by then. But if thoughts like that, it often thoughts that have no consequence for our life, that they have no real meaning, no real value, but they can really hold us down. So just figuring out, oh, you thought actually, what are you good for? What are you good for, thought? Terrorism is going to get stronger and stronger. Germany, because I'm German, Germany let in 2 million refugees. 2 million refugees, and many of you from people are just like, wow, how many jihadists have you just got into Germany? When are the bombs going off in Germany? What is going on for all the people who worked so hard and all people who never put a cent in the money box in Germany, actually, they're getting, I don't know how much money out of it. And stuff like that, and people get so upset with it. And they start campaigns and discussions, and I don't know. And this, first update in Australia, so I don't really care that much about Germany anymore. But even in Germany, if you don't want to do anything actively, if you don't think you have to join a party or whatnot, be careful with these thoughts, because I see I come up from a left wing scene, whatever you want to call it in Germany, and I can see a lot of people even from the left and from the middle basically getting far more to the into the right spectrum now. We had that the first time in Germany, we had over 10% with a, it's not a Nazi party, but it's as right wing as we had it since the Second World War, basically. Just out of fear. There's nothing happened so far. It's just this fear factor coming up in the mind again. And this thought processes are changing our reality. Whatever sits in there, whatever is contemplated, whatever is given value in the mind is going to get stronger. We have to be aware of that. But we can also not fool ourselves. We cannot decide, oh, I don't want that to get stronger and I'm just going to fight against it or whatnot. No. If the mind thinks that is right, if the mind sees value in that, it's going to go there. So as long as I believe that being forceful, being strict, being pushy is a good thing. Otherwise I cannot get forward in this world. I'm going to be pushy. I'm going to be forceful. Because the mind sees value in that. We see success in that. We get our way. And sometimes the mind is just too blind to see that we also alienate a lot of people when we behave that way. And friends that we might have gained actually are going to draw away because we're not that pleasant to be around anymore. So our thoughts have consequences, which is important to know. This universe is created second by second and minute by minute and hour by hour and day by day and year by year. It's created already right now. For a lot of us, it's incredibly fixed already. We're not children anymore. And the older we get, the more rigid these structures become in the mind. And we can believe very, very strongly then in certain ideas. So in the meditation, we can always evaluate anew. We can see sometimes it's even what we thought was good for us. We see, wow, there's tension there. There's that doesn't feel relaxed, that mind. And if we know, wow, but in the direction actually where I was kind, where I was open, that was when my body relaxed. That when it was when my shoulders relaxed. That was when I could breathe easily. That was when I had the feeling I don't have to do that much. What we call peace, being at peace, really knows what that is, being at peace. This feeling of not having to do anything. Just being at peace, you just sit there, you don't have to do a thing in the world. How rare is that? It's incredibly rare. Nobody is at peace. And we say rest in peace, that's for people who are dead usually, because we believe they are in peace. But that peacefulness is one of the goals of the meditation. This when you are exactly there where you want to be. And you don't want more sound, you don't want different smells, you don't want different sights, you don't want a different body. It's usually when the body just gets less and less prominent, when we just realize, wow, what a burden, beautiful, you can let go of that as well. So please remember that your meditation is important if you have your intention right. If your intention is kind and with a interested attitude, your meditation will be alright. And then it doesn't matter if you meditate a lot. If you enjoy it, the mind wants to do more of it anyway, and you're going to find the time. If it's just chore, then make it shorter. Just see what sort of time limit you can sit there, and the mind thinks, well, this is beautiful, like for 3 minutes, I really want to see what's going on if I don't do anything. If I don't have to do anything for 3 minutes. No thoughts are important. Just sit there. Let the body breathe. If you have the feeling, wow, for these 3 minutes the mind is interested, then use your 3 minutes. And sometimes the mind is so interested that maybe you sit longer and you don't even realize it. So that is the advice I can give you for your meditation, that you always check your attitude, not the time. Make sure that you wish yourself and other people the best when you start that. Remember that we are creating our own universe in our own heads. So let us be careful what is going on in our heads. Just be clear when the mind is going into a negative direction. And then the beautiful thing is when we realize we don't have to do anything, the mind is going to pull away. If the mind sees there's suffering, it's going to pull away. Don't have to force it, we don't have to tell it. When the mind sees there's suffering in that direction, it goes away from there. That is the nature of the mind. Searching for the positive, searching for beautiful sights, for beautiful sounds, for beautiful smells, for beautiful touches. Constantly. When we wake up until we go to sleep. That's the job of the mind. Going through the 5 senses, trying to find beautiful things. And if you create that realm in your mind where there is some beauty there for yourself, there is some kindness there is some understanding there is some patience there, then you create that little space where the mind doesn't have to go through the 5 senses, just goes into that space in the mind, in your meditation, where you're happy already, because little by little you create that little spot there, that spot where you trust, just whatever happens can happen here. If it gets negative, it gets negative, but I'm going to be positive with the negativity. Because I'm looking after that attitude during my meditation. And hopefully then this awareness starts to rise when you see that more often in your day-to-day life, when it gets into a realm where it's just not wholesome for you and for other people. That is what meditation can do. Just helping us getting more aware, creating that space in our mind. Will we create something beautiful that we are not so dependent anymore on what is coming through the five senses in? Because that is very dependent on the circumstances. We cannot, people who try to control what is coming in through the five senses, they become dictators. And then they think they can control everybody enough that only the pleasant stuff can come. They can even force the people to have a shower and wear special clothes before they come in your presence, actually. I think that's what Saddam Hussein did. And still, he's going to be pissed off about something. There's going to be someone, but he's going to fart next to him, or whatever. Or in the monastery, actually, now the little parrots are out in the monastery. And it's just absolutely amazing how annoying they are. Constantly, and you pity these mothers with young babies who actually have to care for year and year until they stop crying. And these parrots, they go on and on and on and on and on and on. Oh dear, dear. And you cannot control it, you cannot close your ears, actually. It's just that you cannot close them. It's just going to be annoying. And it's sort of, the more annoyed we are in that moment already, the more annoying the situation is to me. When I'm in a bad mood already, the parents are, you think it completely justifies you to take out the shotgun and go for it, actually. And if you're in a good mood, it's basically just in the background, very lightly, you know, just hardly affecting you at all. And that is that power of the mind, that is that inner universe we're living in day by day. And that is what we as meditators try to take care of, to make it a more pleasant place. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah.
I just like to ask, when I was meditating, I'd just like to know, I was finding when I was going quite deep, I'd shook myself out of it, because is that normal for that to happen when you're meditating?
What do you have a feeling? Who shook you out?
Yeah, no, I think I did it myself. I actually felt quite calm and when I was, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was actually going there, I was sort of like stopping myself from going there.
For some people, sometimes this can be a bodily reaction. I have said that something is still relaxing or whatnot, they can shake me out. For some people, it's fear when it gets deeper. They sort of, ooh, what is that?
Yes.
And I can get myself out of very well always by being too greedy. Because you know it can go deeper already, yeah? And then the mind thinks it knows already and tries to grasp again, and then it sort of all falls apart again. So just try to be as aware as you can, see what's kicking you out of your meditation. Is it just the body more relaxing, or is there fear coming up? If there's fear coming up, give it kindness. Is it completely okay if there's fear coming up? Because we fear what we don't know. If we get familiar with it, actually, then it's not going to be frightening anymore. So it's just step by step by step. But that is also, this kindness is going to help you through that process, because you, after a while, after months and years, if you treat yourself like that, you're going to believe it. But that is your attitude. You trust that attitude because you have owned that attitude. And then this is how to overcome this fear, step by step by step as well.
Just a question?
Yeah.
So awesome, I've seen you and you answer all the questions before I actually ask them, which is quite weird. But because of the problems I'm having, I tend to take myself away from the situation I'm in to go and meditate for a while.
Mm-hmm.
My question is sort of like, if I'm going to meditate when I'm not in a good space,
mm-hmm.
am I wasting my time in that? I'm wasting my time. How do I get out of that space that I'm in so I can go and meditate and get value out of it, you know? Because, like, you know, you said you can spend hours doing it and not achieve anything because you're in the wrong frame. So where do you...
I think I understand. It depends. It depends on if you consider meditation as something pleasant for yourself already, then when you take the time out, like you said, from something which is unpleasant beforehand, oh, I have to get out and do some meditation, that is like drinking a cup of tea then for you, because you like meditation. If you just consider meditation as something valuable that you should do because it's supposed to lead to somewhere, then it's just another chore. Another job.
Chore.
Not the chore. Chore. It's just another chore that you have to accomplish, and it's going to be just another burden on your shoulders. Huh? And it's just going to agitate you more. If you have the feeling, wow, this is now 5 minutes time out, and I'm going to enjoy that, beautiful, go for it. That's going to be wholesome because you're going to relax and you're looking forward to that. But if it's a lot of people go, oh, I haven't meditated yet. I have to meditate. I'm a Buddhist now. I took the five precepts and the three requisites, and it's all confirmed, actually. I'm a Buddhist and I have to do that now. And then it's another burden for the mind, and you ask yourself, why the hell would people do stuff like that? You know, just to call themselves a Buddhist or a meditator or whatnot. If your mind is there that it sees meditation as something, wow, beautiful, time out, then you're going to get the benefits because you have a positive attitude already in that moment. Huh? If you just think, I have to do it because I need to do it for medical reasons or for spiritual reasons or forever, then it's just difficult to do it. It's going to put more pressure on your shoulders, and you can look at it yourself. If you get more agitated and you get more miserable, then obviously it's not working. Huh?
Yeah.
And then better have a cup of tea or whatever, you know, or give a walk or whatever.
When I go and meditate, I feel like a whole lot better, definitely, but I'm just worried that if I go in the wrong frame of mind when I go in there, does your mind sort of work overtime and compound the problems, or is it sort of...
Not if you're aware in your meditation what you're doing. You see where the mind is going, and you see your attitude during the meditation, and sometimes the attitude shifts and you get maybe a little bit more negative, and then you become aware again and you see, oh, there's negativity, that's okay. You develop that attitude of being alright what is going on. You're treating yourself kindly because you cannot control what is going on in your meditation. We're just so arrogant that we think we can control our thoughts. We can't. We cannot tell them to stop. We cannot tell them to be positive. We cannot tell them anything.
So there's no right and wrong time to meditate.
Not really. I mean, the wrong time is not. It's the wrong attitude. And I mean, if people haven't got anything out of their meditation and don't appreciate meditation, it can be wrong because they're just pushing themselves in a direction where the mind doesn't want to go, where they see meditation as a burden. But if people hopefully start from the beginning like that, that they see meditation as a short time out, a short charging the batteries for the mind, this sort of kindness where you know you don't have to do something. Don't have to achieve. You're out of that game now. You don't have to feel a certain way. And that sort of kindness, if people appreciate that from the very beginning, then I think the mind becomes very clear about if that's wholesome or not. Because you see in what frame of mind you are. From moment to moment to moment to moment while you're meditating. Who is observing? The guy who is observing, what face does he have? Is he observing like that? Or is he observing like, wow, okay. Or is he critical? Is he impatient? Huh? if that continues on and you see, oh, I cannot stop that and it's getting uncomfortable, then don't force it. Then the kindness, in my opinion, is basically to have your cup of tea or have a walk or go to the toilet or whatever you have to do. Then you basically get out of that mind frame. If meditation becomes something where somebody tries to hold the grip tight again and it's getting into this controlling mood, I don't see the benefit. We have enough of that already.
Yep. I was going to ask this thing. Meditating laying down. Sometimes if you can't get your body comfortable, or something. And sometimes you can lay down, not lay flat, but just really relax. Take the weight off the body. The discomfort goes away. I sometimes think that's probably the nicest way to meditate. I don't mean go to sleep. I mean, that's okay too. But instead of all this sitting and rigid and everything.
Yeah, I agree. I had some of my best meditations during college. But usually I did quite a bit of sitting beforehand, and there was a lot of energy built up before. Because often when I lie down, I also can fall asleep. But it doesn't matter, like you said. You're relaxed, and I don't have this thing of, I have to sleep a certain amount of time, and sloth and torpor. In my opinion, this is far more about the rigidity of the mind and not about being tired in the body. You know, this sloth and torpor of not being able to move the mind out of the old habits. It's not so like we saw constantly sleepwalking or whatever. You know? That is not the sloth and torpor.
So if you beat yourself up a bit with this sloth.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do. I don't care actually about the sloth and torpor business at all. I don't sleep excessively. I know that, and I don't feel constantly tired, and I'm fine. And if I fall asleep in the meditation, that's fine. Actually, that's all right, because sometimes it's just comfortable when you lie on your back and then you have a little nap and then something else happens, actually. But it's a good thing. If you can fall asleep during the meditation, you learn to relax. Yeah? Ajahn Brahm fell asleep over and over during the meditation in the beginning. Yeah? Maybe he still does, I don't know. I don't see him anymore. He's meditating in his cave. But at least that's a sign that there's trust there. A lot of people can't sleep. Why? Because they're thinking and thinking and thinking and worrying and whatnot. Huh? So at least you know there's this relaxation there already. Huh? Beautiful. Fall asleep. Go ahead. And I like meditating on the back, actually. And if there's so much energy there, then it's just great because the body is so comfortable and you don't have to spend a single thought on that thing anymore. Okay, I think it's late, huh? Half already? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.